10 seconds. Edmonton, one game away from the Stanley Cup final for a second year in a row.
What type of call is that?
Oilers radio, man.
He didn't want to hear anything. It was just like, end of score, final score, that's it. Let's get out of here. I like it.
Isn't that kind of how we all felt yesterday anyway? Edmonton about to go to the Stanley Cup a second year in a row. Yeah.
Good morning, Metroplex. It's the hump day edition.
Hump day.
Of Sean and RJ alongside Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Pepe is obviously not in a mood, and you probably are not either, as offense has disappeared in DFW. We got nothing because the Dallas Stars cannot finish. And 4-1 last night makes it 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals. And this thing feels over.
It feels over because they have been lamenting about this on the broadcast. Like, this feels like a 3-1 game, even though it's a 2-1 game. And a 3-1 game feels like a 4-1 game because the Stars just can't score right now. And Skinner looks like Marty Brodeur reincarnated out there. like J.S. Jaguar. Just out there just stopping everything right now, which, save for the third period in game one, I mean, he's done nothing but stop things in the last 6 games of his, dating back to the Vegas series. But, I mean, you could not ask for anything more. They completely controlled the puck in the first 20 minutes of that game. Completely controlled the puck.
Are they just not finishing? Is that it?
Yeah, they're not. I mean, like, they're not even. It's still there. They're still not. I still don't think they're attempting as many shots as they should for the amount of time they controlled the puck. I mean, that I guess it was the power play in the third. I mean, it was a minute and a half in. Like, no, still no shot attempts with the Stars. It's like, what's going on?
Well, 18 shots in the first period.
That's a lot. That's a lot of shots. It's a lot of shots. It just didn't feel like they were getting enough shots as a series as a whole.
Is this the equivalent of runners in scoring position for the Rangers? Like, you're playing well in other aspects and the opportunities are there. You're just not finishing. You're just not driving in the runner and you're just not having the puck find the net. Subban, after the first intermission, was like, you actually have to score. You actually have to put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
But in terms of other aspects of the game, these commentators from game to game are saying, don't feel bad if you're the Stars. You're playing well. It's just not reflecting on the scoreboard. I agree with Pete DeBoer with the in-game interviews. Hey, I like our style. I like our play, but it's not going in the net.
You said they had 18 first period shots?
That's what I wrote down.
Well, they had 29 for the game then.
Yeah, they got outshot 13-4 in the final period.
And that's a
pathetic.
To have 18 in the first period and end the game with just 11 over the final two.
In the third period of the last two games, they've had 7 total shots. They had 3 last night. They had 4 shots in the third period of game 3.
Yeah, it feels like you had it, like when Chop was just saying it felt like it should have been 3-1. It did feel like it should have been 3-1. It felt like it should have been 3-1 Stars at the end of the first period, like with all the shot opportunities they got. And they were getting good looks. It's just like Skinner does not allow anything against them. Like he's for his playoff career, we were talking about it yesterday, he's under 90% save percentage. And against Dallas now, he's 97. It's absurd. Like he stops everything against them. And there's nothing they can do to get the goal or to get the puck past him. But I mean, at this point, it's just like, all right, you got that flurry in the third period, and other than that, you should have been swept.
Let's go through the game. Jamie Benn with a trip that leads to the first 3 goals of this game were off the power play. Draisaitl with a one-timer from an angle. He had no business. I even know this as a high school goalie. When someone is basically, what's this? Is this a 45-degree angle?
Oh, no, that was
90.
Yeah, that was much closer.
When someone is at that type of angle, they should not be scoring. No. But Draisaitl with the one-timer makes it 1-0. That now made the Stars trail in the first period in 14 of their 17 playoff games. So they're starting off from behind, always. We know about the game one problems. They're trailing the first period. Outscored 10-0 in the first period on the road in these playoffs. You're down 10-0 after 1 on the road.
Yeah, and they'll go out there tomorrow night. They'll score 5 goals. because they're playing at home. At least that's what it feels like. You know, they've done it, you know, this postseason, is that when they're playing at home, they go out there and score. But on the road, they just can't get it done. Now, you know, that Drysdale goal, I mean, it was just a stupid angle. And it's not one that you expect a guy to be able to put on that, and especially go low like that. I mean, that was tremendous.
Hyman then gets injured. There's your injury break. Second period, Jason Robertson with the power play. That was a sweet upper left corner shot that ties the game. And you saw all the emotion come out of Robo right there. Even though he did score in the last game, he didn't even realize it. So that felt like an actual true goal for Robertson. And then Marchment, get this guy off this team. That's my hot take.
He's the new Sooner.
Effing Marchment, man. That's the hashtag. It's every game.
Marchment with an interference. Edmonton power play. And Corey Perry taps it in. Nugent Hopkins has been their X factor. He had his second assist of the night, setting Corey Perry up. I can't stand looking at his face either. Corey Perry, I'm talking about. I don't like Marchman's face real hair, so that's why I really want him out of town. And then in the third, I saw the stat get put up of the hits comparison of 43-18. 43-18, the physicality that was out there. And then as the Stars are trying to come back, they're trying to tie things up. Granlund with a penalty with 5 minutes left. And that really zaps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's up. Because you who knows what time they were going to get an empty net, right? When you're down 2-1 in a series, and it's only a one-goal game, right? It's only a one-goal game. But when you're down 2-1 in a series and down 2-1 in a game, you know, if you're trailing that game, you've got to get an equalizer. It doesn't matter if you give up an empty net goal. You have to take that risk. There's a real possibility. Like, I would love to have seen if they didn't take that penalty, when they would have gone and pulled Otter.
Two empty netters later, and it's 4-1. Stars with two goals in their last four road games.
That empty net coming out of the break, too. Like, the first one is like, all right, face right off. Away. Let's see if we can get it. And then it's just like 3 seconds. Like, all right, clear the puck, get down there, yep. Goal, all right, over. It's like, right, okay, away. Well, that kind of saps the drama out of it. But this is just, right now it feels like you mentioned yesterday just how they got beat up. And this was supposed to be the series out of the last two. And this is the same case as last year where people were like, oh, all the physicality that you're dealing with. And it's like, well, that's not Edmonton. Edmonton's really going to just come in here and finesse you a little bit. You get to play more your style of hockey. It's like, well, why are they still beating you up? Like, they're beating you up just as bad or worse than Winnipeg did. And Winnipeg was supposed to be super physical.
Well, Chubby, just wait till Florida. See what
we're not going to see Florida.
I know, but yeah.
Edmonton Super Bowl there?
It's Super Bowl there. No, but San Fran this year, right? Santa Clara. And the Stars are between the start of the second and really the whole game. I mean, they dominated the faceoffs. I mean, they were getting just about every faceoff you could ask for, and it still wasn't working. I mean, they completely controlled this puck. I would love to see the puck time they had in the Edmonton zone compared to what you should have scored in that game.
Rex on the YouTube asks a great question. What did Money Puck say? They said 58% for the Stars, Rex.
There you go.
How I'm surprised it's that low.
I mean, honestly, they were, because they dominated the first period. I think they won the second, but I mean, they got outplayed in the third.
It's like a boxing match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is.
It really is. It's like, all right, who's doing all the little things to get the points on the scorecard, but who's throwing the big haymaker and who's actually scoring with the net?
They double you up in hits. I mean, they've just been the more physical team.
Pepe, you're obviously in a fantastic mood. Your thoughts from last night?
It's just the same old story, man. I mean, you give Oilers credit, man. I mean, they're obviously the better team, but it was like they were daring you to score on the power play. They weren't afraid to commit penalties here. I mean, it got sloppy there, you know, throughout the second, third period, but they were daring you to score, and you did one time, thank goodness. But you got to score more than one to beat Stuart Skinner and the Oilers. But just a better team, man. It's another, you know, close but no cigar.
Pete DeBoer on the loss afterwards.
Yeah, a little bit of the same story, right? Just can't get that lead. I loved our first period. Other than, you know, I thought we missed the net too much. I think 15 missed shots. So I think we got to make it a little bit tougher and make sure we're hitting nets in those situations. And then, you know, but really to play a period like that and, you know, not get out even or up, you know, you're actually down a goal is a tough spot. You know, and then the other story is obviously the penalty kill. We gotta get a kill t-
tonight. That's the difference in the game. The first period, not capitalizing, and then not stopping their power play.
What are they in a wind tunnel right there?
Yeah, well, it sounded like the exercised souls of Oilers from the past or something in the background.
Still wintertime up there. You know,
it's wintertime year round.
The winds are howling.
Yeah. We have a listener up in a listener, Tolo Lance, up in Edmonton, and he'll send me a screenshot every now and then of the weather, and it'll say like -34, and he goes, "You realize that -33 is where Fahrenheit and Celsius meet?" Because at zero, it's 32 degree difference, and he's like, -33, it's the same.
Thanks, Delkis.
That's so, I can't put it into words.
877-881-1053 is the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. 877-881-1053. As I'm trying to think of like overall disappointment for the Stars season now, having it probably end at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. The way hockey is in so fickle, when you're in the conference final for a third straight year, I can't be disappointed.
I feel different now in the series and in these games versus the beginning of the playoffs, where it's like, all right, well, you've been there last year. You've been there before. You had a great regular season. You should make it to the Stanley Cup final, anything less than the championship. But then.
No, that's lovely.
Okay. So apparently it was the wind tunnel here as the fire alarms are going off in the building. Hey. Mm-hmm. I'll take it because the Stars don't get that sound in their arena.
No,
they don't get that during their games at all.
That is a fire. That is not a drill.
A fire. Well, you don't know if it's not a drill or not. You probably haven't checked your email.
No, it's the speaker says.
Yeah, I know what the speaker says, but that would also say it for a drill.
I don't think so.
So you think there's a fire in the building right now?
I would say that if the speaker would say, because it said before, this is just a drill.
Okay. Well.
So that's what I would say.
We should send Jake down to investigate.
Reema. Go on downstairs.
But it says in the building. Does that mean like which floor is that?
That's 12 floors, man. Well, it's not 11.
It could be the third.
It matters what floor it is.
Well, it does. If it was 11th floor, that would matter a great deal.
Well, I think if it's on the third floor, I'm not just like, all right, what's coming up?
Yeah.
It's 640.
We're going to hop over the fire in the stairwell.
Yeah. Here it'll be contained to the third floor. Yeah,
surely.
Like, absolutely. I mean, this isn't like California wildfires. It's not going to spread that quickly.
Did we get an email saying there's supposed to be a fire drill?
No. Let's go look.
I don't believe so.
That's the thing to look at.
I also don't check my email, though.
Exactly. That's why I was like saying, pump the brakes just a little bit.
Hum.
What?
There's like this hum.
Just go out in the hallway.
Okay, hold on. Let me
smell. Touch the door frame.
Talking over each other and bibbling and babbling. Let's go out in the hallway and check.
There's alarms playing. We're about me talking over.
No, there's nothing out there.
877-881-1053. If you see smoke coming from the Odyssey building on 75 and Fitzhugh. We got no scoring on the ice, and we got no... What's the update, Reema?
Just a drill. Do not panic. Nobody panic.
Just a drill.
Nobody panic.
I see no email. So
maybe a drill or a false alarm? Which one is it?
A false alarm.
Go to commercial break.
Here's the pitch. A swing, a line drive, a base hit center field. Haggerty and a score. And the Rangers lead 1-0.
Hey! Last night, a win-win situation. If you are a morning show Tolo here with Sean and RJ on your home for Rangers baseball, you bet the under, you won, and the Texas Rangers also won. 2-0 over the Toronto Blue Jays as Josh Young breaks through in the 8th inning. 6 Ranger pitchers, this is the story of the game. 6 Texas pitchers held the Blue Jays to 4 hits because the negative news is Nate Eovaldi was removed after 2 innings as a precaution because of tricep fatigue. I go to the box score because I'm not trying to get bored to death checking out the Rangers while the Stars are on, also Knicks Pacers, and I'm like, Eovaldi, 2 innings, what's going on with that? But Jared Sandler tweets out, word from the Rangers, it's precautionary and not expected to miss more time, but only 2 innings for Nate Dogg. The bullpen does the job.
Yeah, I was at practice and watching the, it's harder when you're watching the game on the phone to flip back. It's just a pain in the butt. And I flip over, I see Latz is in, and I'm like, why is Latz at like 40 pitches in the fifth? All right, this is not right. And then the initial thing that the guys, the dads that were there were like, oh, it's right forearm fatigue. And I'm like, oh, no. please, anything but forearm fatigue. Forearm fatigue is baseball code word for we'll see you in 12 to 15 months. Right, triceps fatigue. All right, a little better.
A little better. But still, I don't trust.
Not expected to miss time. That's much, much better.
It probably is precautionary. I'm not going to believe it's precautionary until he's back. Anytime they throw fatigue on a pitcher's arm anywhere, then I'm just like, ooh, it feels like you're lying to me in some sense. And so that's concerning with Nate Eovaldi, but it also doesn't matter a ton. Because Nate Eovaldi could go out there, pitch nine innings, give up one run, and he's going to lose 1-0 because this offense is bad. It's so bad. Flipping back and forth last night, I was telling y'all just before we walked in here, I think I saw them get one hit. They had six hits in the game, but like actually going back and forth, I think I saw one hit. It was like there in the eighth inning. That was it.
Dude, like they're not getting walks either. It's an epidemic with this team. They're just not walking. They're not hitting the ball well. And you score two runs, you expect to lose. It's like, it's also the opposite. You know, when you say when you allow three runs, you expect to win that game. But, you know, when you only score two, you expect to lose. So when you actually do win those kind of games, it does speak to just how good this rotation has been. Pitching staff as a whole, bullpen included, it's just been, they've been able to keep teams relatively at bay. And even some of the best offenses in the sport, you know, they only allowed 10 runs of the Yankees. In a three-game set in that ballpark, right? In that ballpark where balls fly out of there, the pitching staff was so good, and now the offense, look, they thankfully they scored enough. They didn't get shut out again.
Yeah.
They've scored one or fewer runs 18 times this year. That's one out of every three games they're scoring one or nothing.
Emily Jones was trying to introduce some new lingo to Bruce Bochy, and she said, hey, if y'all get the win, you should drop one or two of the terms in the post game. And Boch did.
Jacob Latz, the performance he gave you tonight.
Oh, he was busting, wasn't he? No, well, I mean, what a job.
So good.
Bussing.
The way he just like, bussing, like it was so natural. Like, yeah. Oh, he was bussing.
He was bussing, wasn't he?
He used it right.
He did.
He used it the right way.
So what, bussing is like crushing?
Yeah, like, so like.
Awesome.
Yeah, dad, this burger's bussing. And I'm like, is it bussing or is it bussing? It's bussing. That's when it's really, really good.
Yeah, I hate that word. That became a big word on like TikTok when people were like doing food influencer videos and they'd be like, oh my gosh, these deviled eggs are bussing. And it drove me up a wall. So I hate it now. Deviled eggs are awesome. You shut your mouth.
There were some other terms. I got to get all the ones that Emily told Bruce to drop. The Tolos sent them to us, but that's the one that he incorporated as the Texas Rangers get the 2-0 win to even up the series against Toronto. Third in the American League West, Seattle leads the way up over Houston by a game and a half. The Rangers are 4.5 back at 27-29, then the Angels, then the Athletics.
She tried to get him to use bussin', riz, and cap. So out of the words he was taught, he did pick the right one because Riz wouldn't have made sense.
Can't use Riz there.
No, and Cap, why would he have said that's a lie? He wouldn't have told them they're lying in the postgame. So he picked the right one, unless, and he used it correctly in a sentence.
Unless they were talking about, like, you know, potentially what Nate's injury actually is. That's Cap.
Oh, or he could have said, like, look, it's precautionary. No cap.
Do you think he talked to PR right before the podium and said, now which one he applies?
That's probably true. Can I say cap?
Can I say cap? Tyler Mahle is going to be out there on the mound today with a 1.8 ERA going up against a 3-3-1. So he got the advantage, but not by much against Toronto, who was two games under 500. I was honestly not that interested in the Rangers. I wanted to see if there was going to be more drama in the Eastern Conference.
8 seconds to shoot. Near corner, McConnell back to top and right edge. On top to Halliburton. Here comes a long, 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 long three.
This Pacers play-by-play guy is interesting. 130, 121. Tyrese Halliburton is repeating the bubble breakout. Well, no, let me correct that. Not the bubble breakout. The NBA Cup breakout.
The cup.
The initial right. Emirates Cup.
The Emirates Cup. That's right. I forgot they had sponsored it.
Indiana was the breakout team, and Tyrese Halliburton was the breakout player. Well, to me, he's the breakout player again in the NBA is he scores, he has a triple-double. He's got a 32-point triple-double with 15 dimes and 12 rebounds as Indiana takes the commanding 3-1 lead over New York in Indiana.
First player in NBA playoff history, 30 points, 15 assists, no turnovers. He was awesome last night. He had four steals, too. He was just, and you know what it was? Pops back in the building. Pops was back in the building. Yeah. Although afterwards, I guess he, I saw a clip when I woke up this morning. He was talking about, he's like, well, yeah, Pops back in the building was great. He's like, but also Triple H was here. And I found out Triple H was here, and he's like, that's what really got Hunter, me going. Baby.
I don't think it was Triple H or Pops being in the building. It was Pat McAfee, who may not be invited back and handed a microphone in an NBA arena.
Indianapolis, Indiana. We got some big wigs from the big city in the building. Spike Lee is here. Ben Stiller is here. Timothy Chalamet is here. Let's send these sons of bitches back to New York with their ears ringing. Let's turn this
That's so good. Awesome. The wrestling heel.
Freaking awesome. There's an old Ben Stiller sitting there in his seat.
Chalamet with his racquetball glasses on that he had on for game three. They are already writing articles about the Jalen Brunson problem that they have. That he cannot be on the floor.
Oh, he's the greatest Nick of all time, I thought, Jay.
Yeah,
Williams.
They have a, with him, on, according to PBP stats, PBP, Professional Bowlers Platform stats, the Knicks have a net rating of 0.5, negative 0.59 with Brunson on the floor, compared to 3.48 with him on the bench. They are playing better with him off the floor, because defensively, he is just, I mean, they are figuring that out. They figured it out in game three. They had to take him up. And Carlisle even said something like, oh, yeah, they had their better defense on the floor.
Best players.
Yeah, they had their best players on the floor and better defenders on the floor when they made their comeback. And, you know, Karl Towns was tremendous in that fourth quarter. But they can't have those two on the floor, it seems, at the same time. And when Brunson is off the floor, they see, in this series at least, they seem to be the better team.
I think we need to just take a second, stop down, and realize and repeat that the Indiana Pacers are about to be in the NBA Finals. The Indiana Pacers are about to be in the Finals. And I think we should actually go back over the last 10 to 15 years to find a more surprising NBA Finals participant, of someone who caught us out of the blue, because those types of surprises don't really happen. No one at the beginning of the season would have said Indiana, that they don't have a true one. They definitely don't have a two. It's Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam washed up, old, bitter Rick Carlisle in a market that nobody wants to go to or cares about. I am freaking thrilled for Carlisle.
I am too. They play a really good team brand of basketball. Rick coaches circles around a lot of the other coaches in the NBA. Although Tibbs did a great job in game three in the fourth quarter with those adjustments. Gutsy adjustments.
It worked.
But... you know, Rick is just a tremendous coach, and I feel really, really happy for him. I'm trying to think. I mean, those two Miami teams, right, that made it, I don't remember
them. Let me give you the matchups.
So, I was about to say, is it at the beginning of the season, it would have been the Nets, Jason Kidd's first year.
Yeah.
Because they were awful, and nobody thought they were going to be as good as they were when he showed up.
Dallas, Boston.
A lot of people, outside of DFW, who had the Mavs in the finals?
Well, we didn't have the Mavs even in the finals.
We didn't either.
but you had Luka and Kyrie.
Yeah.
So it's like, at least you have some star power, right? Miami showed up against Denver. Yeah, you're right. When Miami has made it, it's been a surprise. But I still think this is more of a surprise. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, because Jimmy's at least thought of as
a star.
A star.
Yeah. Maybe even a superstar to some. Golden State, Boston, Milwaukee, Phoenix, Lakers, Heat, Toronto, Golden State, Warriors, Cavs for all those years.
Yeah, Toronto pop. I guess everybody assumed that once Kawhi got there, it was going to change things. But, you know, that was still a one-man, not really a one-man show. They had a good base around him, but it was not necessarily like a great, all-time great team.
I mean, you got to go back to get a team that's Nets from the beginning of the year, that first year with Kidd, and then the Knicks. But the Knicks, even when they played the Spurs, that was like a strike year.
Lockout year.
So they didn't end up like having it. When a lockout year happens or a bubble year or whatever else, like, it kind of is fluky and makes me think, all right, that anything could have happened there. But I mean, yeah, really Knicks, Nets, that's kind of the closest thing.
Jake Riedma in studio to recap Stars at 7. We got two little baby ticket giveaways today.
7 a.m., 9 a.m. hours. Oh,
7 o'clock hour, 9 o'clock hour. We'll chop it up at 7:40. It's a random Wednesday wheel spin at 8:20. And Brett Boone at 9:20. Brett looks like he's got his butt cheeks are real tight over there in that dugout. Like, even when they score a run, it looks like he's just like wanting to wipe a relief of sweat off of his forehead.
Right in the butt.
He tweeted the two applause emojis late last night after they won, though. So he's excited.
He gave the thumbs up on the coming on. Make sure you're coming on today. Give him the thumbs up.
Okay.
He does look, it's hitting him. The stress of the job is hitting him, I think. That's to be expected. Because he even brought up with us, like, you can't help your team when you're a coach. Like, when you're a player, you can go 4-for-5 in a loss and feel like you contributed. When you're a coach, you can't help. Like, there's no contributing in a loss. It's just, you just take the entire loss take the brunt of the whole loss.
Do we have another radio station fight? The G-Bag Nation responding to RJ Choppy, the audio, and the winner and losers decided next. Hump Day Edition, just getting started on The Fam. Good morning, Metroplex. Can Jake Riedma make you feel any better about the Dallas Stars? He'll join us in studio at 7 o'clock after the 4-1 loss to fall down 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals. Bobby, are you going to tomorrow night's event?
I believe I'm going. It's not 100% firmed up yet, but I do believe I will be in attendance. And that's going to make one listener angry who was tweeting at you and me last night and was like, they haven't won since you guys went the other night.
Yeah.
Like, well, they won game 7 against the Kraken when I went. So what do you say about that?
Well, Ralph Strangis was pretty upset last night. The former play-by-play voice of the Dallas Stars. Did you see the video of Evan Bouchard slashing Hintz again at the top of his foot?
Oh, yeah.
Coming off the ice or whatever. Yeah.
Came over and talked to the bench, right? The referees came over and talked to the bench and they said, guys, this stops. And they brought this up on the broadcast, which... It's great. It's great they're stopping. And I posted on Twitter. I was like, you know, somewhere, though, Bobby the Brain Heenan is, like, upset with this because he wanted you to work on that arm. You know, Ric Flair work on that arm. But that's the right thing to do. I mean, it was.
That's dirty.
It is dirty. It is dirty. It's you're trying. Now, you're look.
Is that just the equivalent of trying to foul Steph Curry's forearm?
Remember?
When he's hurt or banged up.
They talked about that in the playoffs this year. Like, yes, they're targeting. They do target body parts. Like, if you got,
feels a little bit harsher with a stick.
When you have a stick's a weapon. It's a weapon. You know, it's not like you've got a broken toe on somebody on the other team, and you just slightly walk around, you step on their toe. Right? Is it game? You could try to be under the guise of gamesmanship, but when you have a stick, literally whacking that stick on their foot,
sounded like a whip.
Yeah, that was a weird noise you just made.
I can't make a stick. I can't make a stick thud. I don't know. I just like try. You can't. It just sounds not more like violent that. When it's a stick hitting your foot, as opposed to, you know, just a little harsher foul or grab on the forearm.
Well, Ralph Strand just dropped the P word after that video. Said what a blank in reference to Bouchard. And the reason I bring up Ralph Strangis is because. He is the subject of a little back and forth between us and the G-Bag Nation.
Yeah, so this is something that Choppy got a little worked up at. And if you want, we can either recap. We've got a little bit of the clip of Choppy talking about it last week. So last Friday when we were out at the Mansfield Firehouse, great turnout. Awesome time out there in Mansfield.
Unbelievable.
Loved it. We recapped why Choppy was so frustrated with G-Bag.
we have an incredible turnout here at Firehouse Number 3 in Mansfield.
And we are fresh out of shirts.
I'm sure we have G-Bag shirts because they never give away all their stuff because nobody goes to their remotes.
Boy, he is on a mission with G-Bag ever since Broadus took a swipe at his guest.
Ooh.
He has, for the last week and a half, been on a mission to tear down anything G-Bag is doing in our group messages and then also on the air.
Yeah, up to and including I'm trying to steal their guests.
Yeah, he's trying to steal Strangis. Ralph Strangis. Did Strangis end up going on?
No.
Did y'all hear? He didn't?
No.
So they didn't end up getting him, and we backed off getting him.
We backed off. We could have pushed for this.
Yeah.
We could have stolen their girl.
You were all about that.
I was all about it. It's war. It's war.
I like it. I like it. And Greenberg ended up being good.
Great. He was great.
Because we know what we're doing. We're professionals.
Well, we know how to ask the college basketball questions. Ross is probably asking about Trey Thomas.
We are toxic.
we are
very toxic.
But I'm cool with that.
Yeah, we're cool with it. We like it.
So this was this all stems back to Choppy sending the group message saying Seth Greenberg's going to be on with us, and Broda sending basically a snoring emoji. He's like, he was low energy with us. And Choppy's been a little bit in his feels ever since with G-Bag.
Well, listen, you know, don't come at me when you have no basis for your argument. Your argument.
Well, the basis was they had him on,
right?
And he was boring.
Well, we've had him on, and he was fine. You know, so like that's what I would say. I would say maybe that's he's boring because of the company he was keeping at the time.
Maybe it was the cook with the ingredients,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
I've never watched Seth Greenberg one time on television and thought he could be boring.
No.
Not one time.
It's the singer, not the song.
Now, Walchuk had said in the group message, he's like, he had lost his voice. I think that's why he sounded like he did with us. Like, he was trying to say, no, Greenberg's a good guest. He just had lost his voice. Well, they got wind of this. I think Zach or Eric, one of them heard this.
Twitter-tailed.
And, well, no, they heard it. Oh. And so they went and pulled it, and they played it on Friday afternoon. And after they played it, the entire G-Bag Nation took turns, except I guess maybe Zach, took turns just taking their kicks.
Man, I thought for a long time Chop had kind of resisted the toxic nature, but I think Sean's influence after 14, 15 years might have finally got the best of him. But it's fine. I'm very happy the Firehouse Tour has had this much success.
Yeah,
it's been amazing.
Really, it's amazing.
And their show does sound great.
It's amazing when you have to give away swag and free food. Mm-hmm. For people to show up and see you, it's amazing that
they don't have to spend anything.
Don't have
you show
to,
up
yeah,
and get everything
you know,
free.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the only show that had hats, you know, and
pretty
the
cool.
T-shirts.
Very cool.
You know, we go out and do remotes. People naturally just show up because they like us.
Yeah.
We don't have to entice them with free, wonderful water burger and a hat. You know,
we just say, come get a G-Bag flag.
Yeah, we just say,
come get a little fist bump.
Yeah, come and just see us. We get loads of people come, but you know, it's cool. If you have to entice people with free stuff, all right, I get it.
I just feel bad because Choppy is our guy. I hate the idea that we
heard
his feelings
like that. Probably call him this weekend, see if we can get this patched up.
Yeah.
He was a great guest. I thought he was just coming back from vacation. Should be,
he's gone, like him and Sean are gone all the time. I don't know how their show does it.
The European sensitivity just rubbed off on him. Might have jammed him up.
You can see it.
That's sad. I feel bad for him. I hate hurting my friend's feelings like that.
I know.
And I didn't personally do it, but obviously secondhand to Broadus.
Well,
he's my guy. That's my teammate
I'll
have your back.
We had Seth Greenberg.
Greenberg
on.
Sucked.
Yeah, he was kind of low energy guy.
He lost his voice.
Yeah, he was very low energy.
Actually sucked with them, too. I heard the interview. He was no Jay Billis.
Jay Billis.
But there's something about Jay Billis that sounded better when we replayed his voice on our show. And the Tolos
more
felt that
listen.
As well.
Yeah, probably got better promotion.
Well, I can't wait to have Sean McDonough on today at 4.
Yeah.
I know they had him on Wednesday morning. And there's probably a lot of people in the Metroplex that didn't hear that.
Yeah.
And they'll hear it for the first time with him with us this afternoon. I mean, we had a lot of loyal Turn It On, Leave It On listeners, but not everybody can listen all the time. So the Ralph Strangis thing, I hope they get him. Ralph's great.
Yeah.
I'd love to listen to Ralph in the morning, in the afternoon, midday. I'm on three times a day. We do that with Sandler.
That was a great get by Dawson. It's a shame.
Ralph rushing in. It's great.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Ralph's just been busy.
Shame that Choppy had to do that, but that's the way Choppy plays games.
Wow. That was pretty good.
That's very good.
It is good. Broadus did not want to let it go. Broadus didn't just get it. Most of the guys, they got in there one shot. Like, Dawson's like, oh, Sean's finally made Choppy toxic.
Yep.
Eric going like, being in Europe, the sensitivity rubbed off on the poor man. And then Broadus went on for like,
and Walchuk, no one heard him on our show.
Which he then, I think, immediately tried to backtrack and go like, you know, we have a lot of turn on, leave it on listeners, but they can't listen all day. So this may have been the first time they heard it. And it's like, okay, like Zach tried to correct really quick. But Broadus went on for like a good 90 seconds. Just like, how many different ways can I describe how?
Well, the attack was really towards Broadus. So he should have had the most airtime.
I got no beef. I got no beef with, you know, brought himself into it. When he commented with his little bitmoji, you know, he brought himself. He made it. He made it his problem.
Well, I will say this. I'll give them credit and props. I will not respond like I normally do. I'll keep some for Gavin Dawson down the road. Not right now. What I'm really surprised by, though, is that Brian even remembered that they had Greenberg on because of the old man memory that he has. So I'm really surprised that the dementia did not kick back in towards Broadus, especially after what happened on their show yesterday.
Pro Football Focus, what do you think? They broke down their quarterbacks, all 32 quarterbacks. Man, I think there's some people that are going to agree with this one. I think there's some people that ain't going to agree with this.
Do they have like any criteria, or were they just going based on
They do. They got him in, tears.
Oh, tears.
Our favorite thing, the tears.
The tears.
Tears. Tears. Tear.
I hope this is a rerun situation.
Oh, I got a tear here, eh?
Is this a rerun situation?
What do you mean?
Are you re-racking on the Pro Football Focus quarterback ranking?
I have heard some tears from PFF, but I wasn't sure if it was another show, you know?
I'm not re-racking this.
No, I don't believe you are. I was just hopeful that you were, but I don't believe you are. I'm sure you have something new to the table other than saying Dak is ranked 17th.
Did I do that?
I think you did.
I think I did.
Somebody did.
I think I might have last week.
So there you go, Brian. If you remembered having Greenberg on, just like last week, you forgot your PFF quarterback recaps. Well done.
A week ago.
He goes,
well done.
Right after that, Brian goes, he tried to quickly defuse it, go like, all right, but is that fair? It's 17th. Is that fair? Like, all right, let's move on with this because I don't have other content here for the segment right now.
A week.
The G-Bag Nation is absolutely destroying it with the ratings as of lately. So congratulations to the fellas. Woolchuck, no more drinks will be bought for you out in public. Definitely by me. Choppy, we got a jet ski hit and run update.
Yeah, so they have. So this happened over the weekend on Grapevine Lake. Ava Moore, who's 18, who she was on a kayak, and she was hit by a jet skier, hit and run. And she,
I've never heard of a jet ski hit and run.
I haven't either. But obviously, this jet skier ran over Ava Moore, and Ava died. They pulled her out of the water. They tried to resuscitate her, but she died in the incident. And so they were looking, and they had initially no idea who the person was. Then they found a photo. So somebody had snapped a picture of this girl, and it started circulating everywhere on social media. Who's this? Find this. Apparently, she drove off with somebody else. They swiped somebody in the parking lot, like another vehicle.
Wow.
And they just kept driving, kept going off. Well, they found her, and they have arrested yesterday Dakerlin Alejandra Gonzalez. And this girl is
Gonzalez? Look at Peyton. Two Gonzalez's?
What is Peyton doing?
He's tripping off the last name.
God,
are you sure?
Gonzalez. Yeah, I went to school with a girl. Her last name was Lopez. Lopez in high school. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna call her Vita from now on.
So Peyton, now is not the time.
Ava is an Air Force Academy cadet. So she's 18, soccer player. You know, Air Force Academy cadet. It's tragic story. And they have arrested this girl, Dakerlin Alejandra Gonzalez, in connection with this. So keep you updated.
So on the video of pulling out of the parking lot, did they have like the jet ski hooked up on a trailer? Was it their jet ski?
I didn't see that. I didn't see a video of them pulling out of the parking lot. I just saw like the story of them pulling out. I saw a still photo of her, of the suspect in the park after. I assume it was Oak Grove Park. That's where most of the things happen in Grapevine.
And Ken Paxton, the Attorney General, has said that the reason these two were fleeing so quickly is because they are not here in the United States legally. And so now that also becomes an immigration issue.
Oh, Okay.
So the Texas game wardens have been after her. The Grapevine police have been after her. And now this brings another law enforcement agency, I assume, into the fray.
877-881-1053. Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube here with the Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ. We got a little baby ticket giveaway coming up during the commercial-free expressway starting at 720. We'll also take you inside the Star, but is there any possible way? I don't think it's happening today. I'm not feeling it.
Let's talk hockey.
I'm not feeling it. Can Jake Rietma save the Stars? Our Stars insider joins us in studio next.